Gemäude, Gemäude. I left the grass 3 days ago. Everybody was wearing masks. I've come back 3 days later, no one's wearing masks. About 3 weeks ago, I was bullied into giving a title for a drasha which I didn't know what it was going to be about. So Avram, who's not here, who bullied me to basically, I was forced into a title before I had the shiur for a title for it. So I came up with an exciting sounding title, and I hope that the content kind of like lives up to the title. There's a, I don't know if it's an English expression, but there's an expression of the elephant in the room. Sometimes there's like a unspoken kind of like a awkwardness, which I guess it's not too awkward, but regishly you don't kind of like dwell on it. I have to say, deep down, for many years, I haven't lost that much sleep over it, but there's like a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we feel on Seder night, which ought to be immense. And when we read through the Makkos, when we read through the whole story of everything which took place, we ought to be jumping for joy. And maybe we are. Hopefully we are. But there's one part of the story which kind of like dampens the whole. In truth, I'm saying it dampens the brem to which we feel, the excitement, to the enthusiasm which we ought to feel, which we do feel, hopefully. But there's one, it's not even such a small nekuda, it's a relatively major nekuda, which is that the nisim, the nefloyes, the makas, the likes of which, the Ribbono Shel Olam changed the sidri hateva, you know, things which haven't been done, not prior to or subsequent to, right, which is phenomenal, all for who? For Klal Yisrael, for us. Right, that ought to fill our hearts with joy and happiness and gratefulness to Ribbono Shel Olam, which is what Leil HaSeder is for. Leil HaSeder is all the Mefarshim say that it's poshut, the various parts of the Haggadah. It's clear that the agenda of the Haggadah is to fill us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what happened then, and as Ramban says, that through the story of what happened in Mitzrayim, that also fill the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our daily life. So it's a night of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one chink in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu story is that it's true. The Ribbono Shel Olam took us out with unbelievable nisim and niflois. The one line, yeah, which basically it takes a kid to ask this question, which makapava. Yeah, I mean, I had thought about this question before, but my kid confronted me. Yeah, which one of them it was? 11-year-old. That's like nothing for him. It's more like for 8-year-old actually. When one of my kids kind of confronted me the following question, Daddy, why are we so? Hashem did lots of wonderful nisim for us. It's unbelievable, right? But Hashem put us in this time. You know, so it's tremendous how we got out of this time. But Hashem put us in this rhyme. So unless we can turn the putting in this rhyme into also something which is obviously for, or I just understand how, why going into this rhyme was for in our best interest and for the greatest good, a good for which we can never be grateful enough for. It's a crucial part of the story. Right, and funny enough, there's a crucial part of the story which is not really mentioned in the Haggadah, which Sarukhin, maybe why it's not. Okay, so that's the question, and I was looking at Sirius Stapel, which Rabbi Cohen brought out this year, Zman Chavisenu, and there's many Ramchals there which are quoted on various different nisim, and I mean, in no way an expert, or not even a non-expert, or not even an Orex or Ramchal, but I've seen various parts and bits of the Ramchal, and anyway, there was one there which funny enough, he actually quoted for another Mekudah, but I read the entire piece of the Ramchal, I didn't just read the Dominic Cohen, I don't know if you've seen this one, but you can cheat by basically just reading the parts which are kind of like darkened. The darkened parts, the emboldened parts, the parts again, which are important for you to get to the next piece. If you're a bit conscientious, you actually read the whole piece. So I did, and I was rewarded. And I saw something which blew my mind. The next thing, I come back and he was like, Ramcha, I'll read it out to you. Ramchal says, and it's not in the this Ramchal is not in the it's in Krishna. It's not in the where he Begadol talks about history and we talk more about etc. He says the following: Behainu ki ne yitzis Mitzrayim hayotikun gadol shenitknu by Yisrael v'nisha hadavan netzach. Okay, there's a certain ki me'acha chetu shel adam rishin nisha enoshius kuloi mukulkel. To be the new father of the nation, which is going to do a better job than the other religion did. Yeah, do the job of bringing Yedias Hashem to the world. So Avraham Avinu was selected, but there was a problem. The problem was the degradation of society, the decadence of society was so significant that even though we had an Avraham Avinu, where Avraham Avinu was obviously more than willing and wanting to be the father of this nation, who's going to bring into the world Yedias Hashem and to set the world on its intended direction. The problem was that where's he going to do this? Where's Avraham Avinu going to do this? There was no place. The world was full of it was a mokum yerud. Madriga of the world was very low. So. So what's the solution to this? Yeah, there's no place which is conducive for the growth of Klal Yisrael. There's a Klal Yisrael, Avraham Avinu is willing and waiting to do his mission. There's a problem that the world is such a bad situation, right? So morally flawed, right? That there's a problem is how can you raise an Umma Shleima to achieve this purpose when there's nowhere for them to do it? So where's the best place in the world? The Ibn Shleima chose a place. No, he chose a place. Where did he choose? V'imkin husruch sheyiglin Mitzrayim. The best place the Bereshit could find for where Klal Yisrael, what he said clearly was the problem. You have an Avraham Avinu, you have a willingness, of a father of a nation, but you haven't got the right place, you haven't got the right setting, the right environment in order for this to be successful. So where is the place that the Bereshit found to be that place of success? Mitzrayim, as we guess, Mitzrayim, which was, we're going to see in a minute, which was capable of bringing Klal Yisrael down to the men to Shari Tumor, right? So this needs a bit of understanding. It needs understanding, but before even we understand it, it just kind of before we even understand it, it puts in a completely new light what Mitzrayim was all about. Right? Mitzrayim was about providing. We'll see in a minute, was providing Klal Yisrael with the environment in which they could become the nation that they were supposed to become. So that's the backdrop. That's before we get to the Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Right? So again, we're talking about why we have to be there in the first place. So this is the reason why. Okay, so we're going to say exactly how it was. Imagine the Ramchal doesn't say. The Ramchal doesn't speak out how it was that Mitzrayim, which was the Avi Avos of Tumor, why that was the right place to bring up Klal Yisrael. Whatever, you can have my ideas, but I guess you can think of your own ideas. But you can see clearly that you see from the distance which Yosef, which Mitzrayim kept from the Yidden, even when Yosef was even right from the very beginning when they were more mechubot, right? You can see that Mitzrayim didn't want to mix with Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael went once they turned into Avodim, low, almost like on the social echelon, you know, low for sure. They weren't a nation who Mitzrayim were interested in mixing with. So whatever. There's other things. Klal Yisrael described the situation of Yidden in Mitzrayim as an Uber Sefa'im. They say that the Uber is not Nishba, not by the outside of the mother, even not by the mother. For a reason that you can try and work out ourselves, he didn't speak out. In Mitzrayim, miraculously, was the best place to incubate the recreation of this nation, to give them all the kelim which are necessary. Now we know that Klal Yisrael described as Amchei Orif, and there's a lot to say, that this mid of Amchei Orif was something which was a byproduct of our sojourn in our 210 years in Mitzrayim, left us with this. Well, you can either say either with a blemish, we'll see in a minute, potentially a brocha of Amchei Orif. There's a medrash. The Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says, "Ma'u v'hinei amcheirif hu." Amr Yehuda ben Pluya b'shem Remeir, Ruya heini lihiyarif. Klal Yisrael themselves are deserving to be have their back of their neck broken. Okay. The Amr of Yakum, Shloisha chazufim heim. Chosof b'chayor kelev v'oyif tarnagoyil v'bomis Yisrael. Okay, Om Rabbi Yisrael b'barudifo b'shem of Ami ato sovo shehu lignai v'ein elal shvacham. So you too, you previous Tanoim, okay, at least you, for sure the first one, you Tanoim understand the musig of she'erif, which is basically stubbornness, as being a gnai, and he's going to say with three words to what extent he disagrees, right? This is with these words, are you Yehudi or Tzluv? Right? Are you Yehudi or Tzluv? Very posh and foreign. We say Tzluv means Slav. Yeah, it means basically Jews, right? In our 2,000 years of exile, have been faced with the choices of whether to choose, basically when they've been forced to take on Christianity, and he's saying very clearly that it's this mid of Ksheirif, which is basically the stubbornness in the face of all persecution, which has basically allowed Klal Yisrael to stay steadfast to Yiddishkeit in spite of terrible consequences. That stubbornness has stood by us. And the shittim beforehand, which was Shleisha Chatzufim Heim. There's three chutzpidik, there are three brazen, types of beings. Yeah, the brazen of the chayos is a kalev. That which is brazen of the birds is a tarnagoyl, and that which is brazen of the umois is Yisrael. Now this Gemara, this medrash, is basically repeated kinat in Gemara and Beit Zohar, and the Chofei and the Beit. And there, amazing enough, that the Marashah says that he is an arichos, and he says per money what we're saying. He says that he's my az, azus. He translates what I mean. The Lashon Gemara, which is for sure the same minor. There, instead of talking about the chutz, we're talking about azus, right? So there, the Marashah says, is this azus, which is basically what kept us in check for the last 2,000 years. Right, so he speaks out straight out. So it's an amazing thing. So just taking a step back again, just back to the original question, and this is the maybe the true Chush Gadol, which is what the title says. At least everlasting Chush Gadol, that as a nation we had in Derby printed on who we are. Yeah, in terms of what happened in Mitzrayim, number one was, again, how to understand this is not clear, but we were incubated as a nation in an environment which is conducive to building us up to be the nation of Hashem, without which we couldn't have been. That was treasure number one. And treasure number two, there might be others, but treasure number two, these are the things which we were. Treasure number two, which I'm finding there, is Ksheirif. the middle Ksheirif, which again could be seen in a negative light, we're seeing now these Tanayim and the Megillah and Beis are awesome. And Rashi explains it, Faket, these are Kalim. And just to put it in a true context, you have to understand, obviously we all know, the whole Golos Mitzrayim was predicted in Biskin of Asorim. The Beis Shleim told Avraham Avinu that he's going to be the father of the future nation of the chosen nation, but they're going to have to undergo 400 years of Inui. 400 years, not Inui, 400 years in the Bigerim, in the Erech Loishlehem, right? And we stand, I don't know, it's obvious, Toshuk Chatna Gemara, in a psukim. I don't know, you took a step back ever to think of the question, right? It's a bit of a funny thing. Avraham Avinu is passes the Asorin Asinus, right? He's obviously Avraham Oyavai, right? He's obviously closely British, whatever that means, Kibiyotl. Yeah, he's going to be the father of this future nation, right? And in this Chavilah of describing how this wonderful partnership is going to be, Benishleim throws in that, and by the way, this partnership is going to also include 400 years of being the strangers in a strange land. Which, you know, how exactly, why I guess, and why is that passing part of the Chavilah of whatever it needs to be this new nation? And according to what we're saying, or maybe it's what I'm shooting, that's what it means. We were given a new mission. Avraham Avinu was chosen to be the father of a nation who's got a mission in this world. Now, and to have the mission, to be successful in the mission, you need the Kalim. Yeah, wherever Hashem's mission gives somebody a mission in life, whatever it may be, yeah, so then they're given at the same time the Kalim to achieve that mission. So over here, in part of what was necessary in order for Klal Yisrael to be the Am Hashem, to be the Am HaNivcha, to be the Am which was going to, which was going to will bring, Mitzvah Hashem, Korid, was going to bring the Gula Shleima, yeah, was with these Kalim. Number one, being incubated in a way which was not being mushba by the Egyptian society. And number two, and being able to grow, we'll see what it means to grow. Yeah, to grow, but and at the same time also to absorb or whatever, to inculcate in them certain traits which were necessary in order to survive the longevity of the arichos of the goddess. Just also another marimokim, there's a chizpuni which I found, which also talks about the musig of Ksheirev, and I'll just read out his words. Kiam Ksheirev hu ato marato ki ilo el abikirbacha. You very shlem said that because I'm Ksheirev that you're not going to be el abikirbacha. You're not going to come to within Klal Yisrael. Kiam Ksheirev ato. Adarabo. Yeah, this is the Moshe Ben's reply to Hashem. Yeah, hafuch. Moshe Ben is like, telling Berish, telling, is pleading with Berish on him to understand. Berish on him to see how this midot cheirif, yeah, is something which we're going to harness for our benefit. It's going to be something which is going to faket. It's going to be a reason why we should be your Am Segula. Yeah. There's another Nisa which is spoken about. Yeah, not so clear. I'm sure there's people here who know more about it than myself. We know that the Salevi says it, and the Arachayim says it. Others say it also, but I chose those names on purpose. That Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, kind of fell to the men tesh shari tumah. They got to the bottom of the ladder, and they explain, the Salevi brings from the Sefer Mekubalim, that had they stayed any length of time longer. And the reason why the chippozim was necessary, the reason why the speed of leaving the exit was so necessary, was any length of time longer that they would have stayed there, they would have got to Shan Nun. They would have got to the bottom of the point of no return. So that's why it had to, they had to be taken out so quickly. So, there are a few questions. Yeah, question number one, which I guess the most obvious question is, which is that, you just think about it. Memtes apparently is basically the bottom of the ladder. Yeah, there's only one, one shlav below it. right? And Klal Yisrael were holding them. So first of all, what happened to this grand plan? Yeah, the Ramchal's grand plan of leaving them in Mitzrayim as being apparently a wonderful place to kind of grow as being the nation of Hashem, doesn't quite look like it would, right? Whatever, yeah, it doesn't seem. That's question number one. And question number two is the speed of the turnaround. How could it be? Yeah, they got to Memtesh Shari Tova, not far from Sha'an Nun, which is the point of no return, and then, you know, 49 days later, after his Mitzrayim, they managed to get themselves back to the point in time, the point where they were Shaiach to Kabbalah Sator. I mean, something over here, obviously there's a Havana which we're lacking over here to really understand what this means. So, I used to soften the questions. The Beis Halevi, as Saul says in Jewish Beis, he explains, this is where he talks about Klal Yisrael being Memtesh Shari Tumah. Understand, the way he talks, he describes Klal Yisrael, it's not even his main point, the level to which they have been dragged into, that was correct, dragged into. Basically, in an amazing type of way, they weren't really blamed for it. I mean, he even says that Mitzrayim Faket, they're part of what they had in their sights was a fight capital Rosh Hashanah, and they wanted to rip out any symbol of Yiddishkeit from Yidden, and he's right. Basically, they were nothing. All the lack of cure mitzvahs and even their averas were basically mamish to get oidens. So this Memtesh Shari Tumah, we're already kind of softening the blow of understanding what it means that Klal Yisrael Memtesh Shari Tumah. They were at a very low place. They were at a low place, apparently, seemingly, not necessarily for reasons which they've been blamed for. And more than that, which is what he said, he says that he's not using this to answer the question, but I'm using it to answer the question. He basically says that the pnimius and the pnimius and nefesh, right, deep in the nefesh of Klal Yisrael, right, faket, they still held on, right. They were basically being held back by external pressure, either held back or even forced to do avirus. But this is, none of it was self-generated. And the result of which was that faket, he said, nashom, they still remain mechubah to Ribono Shel Olam. Apparent top. So that already makes things slightly more understandable. Right? Basically, we're not talking about a turnaround of people who are themselves overtly in Rishoyim. We're talking about people who were basically forced into a situation of Resha. And a source somewhere else, which basically kind of like extenuated this, which is we know that the three things for which maybe this is what it means. The three things, we know that there are three aspects of Klal Yisrael which they were praised for. Shleishinoi, Shmom, Shleinom, Adbushom. Right, they never changed their names, their clothes, their language. Right, and he didn't say this. I saw someone else that these things. You know, these things are, when a person is Mizaheh, who he is, the person identifies who he is, the language that he speaks, the name that he gives himself, and the way he dresses might be slightly more external, but these are things which a person has as an external expression of who you are, right? And the fact that they never changed this is fakir, is the greatest riot to this Beis Halevi, basically, that there being an Memtesh Shari Tumah, right at the bottom of the, was not self-generated, faket. If anything, it was blatantly against their will. And deep down, they held on to this kesher with the Ribono Shel Olam, and the result of which is that they identified themselves still as being Am Hashem, and that's why they didn't they didn't change these things, the aspects of themselves. So we kind of. We've made things better on the one hand over here, because on the one side have managed to kind of blunt the difficulty of understanding how it's shy of them to have got from Shah Mem Tes all the way back to be worried to become the Torah. I'm saying now because, why? Because this being a Shah Mem Tes is almost like superficially opposed upon them. It wasn't their own choice, it was against their will. And deep down, they maintain this Keshe with Hashem. But I'm saying, if he wants to kind of follow that idea, then what does it mean that they were very, very close to being at Sha'anun, which is the point of no return? Meaning, why is there a point of no return if the whole thing's only superficial? The whole thing's only kind of like being forced upon you, but deep down you still maintain your identity and your connections with Hashem. So then, you know, what's the next step? Where is it? So, I saw the Nesiv Shalom says that Sha'anun, well, so something interesting, I'm sure there's, tell me more about this than I know, but whatever Sha'anun means, yeah, apparently there's a debate as to whether Sha'anun exists. Is there such a thing called Sha'anun? So Beis Halevi today said there is, and the Rachaim said there is, but others say there isn't. Anyway, the point is that the Leshem asks interesting question. The Leshem means Faket. He's more, from what I've seen, strong that there's no such thing as Sha'anun. And one of his riots, he said, how can you have a nation who is at the brink of self-disruption, right, whatever, Sha'anun, right? He said, when they're seeing, you're seeing this war, he said, how can it be? Yeah, so we're talking about, at this point in time, we're thinking where we're holding now. We're holding at the point of Chippozim. Chippozim was after the Nisim, after Makkos. This is largely infused. That's what he says. It can't be. It's impossible. How can it be that you have a nation which has seen all the Nisim and Floyds of Mitzrayim, has seen the Bereishim, you know, Yad Chazaka, and yet they're still at the verge of the point of no return? It can't be. But the Nesiv Shalom never came to answer that, but I'll tell you what the Nesiv Shalom says, and it's very powerful, and it will answer that also. The Nesiv Shalom says, it proves from elsewhere, that the Musig of Sha'anun, yeah, which is interesting, Sha'anun, he says, is when a person loses complete, a person miyash on his own abilities. When a person is miyash on himself, that's what Sha'anun is. Yeah, it's not an objective level of practice of Yiddishkeit or not, whatever. Yeah, there's Orthodox, Northern Orthodox, whatever it is, and there's Nun. Yeah, there's but rather Sha'anun, he says Sha'anun is when a person gets to Yush, when a person gives up on himself, a person no longer believes that he has the capability of doing anything which the Rebbeinu Shloim feels is of worth. A person feels that they cannot add anything to the Rebbeinu Shloim's world. They give up on themselves, right? So understand, in terms of answering the Leshem's question, you know, the Leshem, we're talking about, we're not talking about belief. The Leshem understood, which the others say straight out, that Sha'anun is a level of apikorosus, yeah, we're basically bilbul ha'das, bilbul confusion of hashtofus, and on that the Leshem says, how could it be? How can you be confusion of hashtofus when you're standing watching the Makkos? So the truth is, in Hanami, that's what it means, and it's got a good question, but according to this Nesiv Shalom, that Sha'anun, because it's not a thought of yidio. It's not a matter of what you do know, what you don't know. It's a matter of how much you value yourself, how much you value to what extent a person themselves can achieve and can add to Rebbeinu Shloim's world. Anyway, so this, yeah. So again, the other benefit of this understanding what it means of the Sha'anun is that the almost like the speed in which Klal Yisrael were able to get back to the heights of to being royal to be metabol the Torah, the U-turn was to a large extent a U-turn in their perception of themselves. Yeah, it was a U-turn in terms of that they came to the realization that in spite of the fact that they were downtrodden on and treated terribly, whatever it was, they managed to somehow see through. Okay, this is also how they saw this, I don't know either, but they managed to see through the pressures which have been put upon them, and they managed to regain their self-value. And that started their rise back to where they should have been. Something which Ross not here, something which Ross spoke about a few weeks ago, and we've had Ross spoke to about it, that which is in the gear to this Nakuda of why I'm mentioning it, is that the sort of Rebbe Yaakov Newald says in his Sefer that the word Amuno Sarcha, Amuno, yeah, we talk about, we say in Moida Ani, that we say in Moida Ani, we say Rabba Amuno Sarcha. So Rabbi Munasafa, he times is wrongly, or not wrongly, but at least also translated. Generally speaking, we understand Rabbi Munasafa means that Rabbi Munasafa, great is large, great is the Hashem's reliability. Yeah, Hashem is faithful. Yeah, Hashem is faithful to all that we need. Right? But he has, he explains it means somewhat different. It means, Rabbi Munasafa, it means faith. Means faithful, not faithfulness, not that we can have faith in Him to provide us what we need, but faith. Hashem has faith in us. Rabbi Munasafa, great is your faith with Bein Shalim in us. And he goes on to explain, which is very, very important, that it's not a minor nekuda. Faith in us is devoid on the idea that, faket, faith in ourselves is based on faith in Bein Shalim, because if a person believes that the Bein Shalim made me and had a task in mind for me to achieve, then it's possible that Hashem must have given me the kelim to achieve to successfully achieve that end. So again, and why is the Kali Yisrael managed to fight back and give themselves the self value? All we've said up until now, which was significant again, in order to really appreciate the true HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand the good which the Bnei Shalom gave to us, yeah, by not only taking us out of Mitzrayim, but even putting us in Mitzrayim, it's all wonderful. It's all wonderful, and I can tell you that there's a Yad HaGedolah she'asim b'Mitzrayim asfas hayam. So who says this? I'm not quite sure, but it's a famous kasha. What do you mean? It shouldn't say b'Mitzrayim, it should say b'Mitzrim. Yeah, Yad Chazaka, Asher Asa b'Mitzrim. It says b'Mitzrayim. Yeah, it should say b'Mitzrim. Yeah, they saw what happened to Mitzrim. They didn't see what happened to Mitzrayim. So whoever it was, it explains. It's just nicer again. Forget that at this point in time of the Kriyas Yamsuf, when they've experienced all the nisim of the Geula, and they've seen all the everything they've seen, now they see in retrospect that all that happened in Mitzrayim, yeah, not, they see what happened in Mitzrayim was the Tov Asav. I saw the Chiddush HaRim says that why do you say Pesach Matzah Morah? It's the wrong order, right? It should say Matzah Morah Pesach. Pesach chronologically was the last one, right? The Chiddush HaRim says the reason why Pesach is at the end is because, as it was Pesach at the beginning, is because you only can celebrate the Matzah Nemorah, which is what we're doing, after you've had a Pesach. Yeah, the Matzah Nemorah is also something to celebrate. It's just that if you have it in the right order, Matzah Nemorah and then Pesach, then the Matzah is Lechem Oini, and the Nemorah is Merirus, whatever, and then the Pesach at the end of it is the good times. Like, but that's wrong. Yeah, the correct way is Pesach, Matzah Nemorah. Once we appreciate the Pesach, the Matzah Nemorah also fits in place of being something which, again, the Rosh Hashanah put us in Mitzrayim and you took us out of Mitzrayim. Because all that we've said up until now is Gevaldik. It's Gevaldik and it's Gevaldik coming to an end. Yeah, okay, I'll just finish one thing. Yeah, the punchline of it, all that we've said up until now is that basically even the bad in Mitzrayim was good, right? Which is wonderful and it's very important. Again, because I promise to tell you, the whole day I say this to you, I promise to tell you, we have to understand the good in both in the Koshi and in the both in the Shibud and in the Gula. But the honest truth is, and it's all true, the honest truth is that there's a Madrega which is also required of us, I guess required of us, which is one step further beyond all of this. And the one step beyond all of this, I can just say, I'll just tell you one Dvar Torah, a short Dvar Torah of the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says in the Medrash, which describes the Kriyas Yamsus, yeah, the word Piru is Pirurim. The fire is mentioned within Oz Yashir, right? And the Medrash says Pirurim Pirurim, that there were different shvilim. Each member of Kriyas went on his own little path, right? The Sfas Emes, or at least I saw and heard explained the same Sfas Emes. You can look in yourself whether or not you have the same idea, but the Sfas Emes basically says that, amazingly enough, it's an amazing thing. Sfas Emes says that two things. Well, one thing before the Sfas Emes is that Meshech Chochmah Stam says. Meshech Chochmah says that when they came to Kriyas Yamsuf, yeah, Meshech Chochmah is a Madaik that the Bnei Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to stand at the back. Up until now, throughout all the difficulties in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was always the one at the standing at the beginning, at the front. Right? And over here, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you stand at the back. I want Klal Yisrael to face this by themselves. That's number one. Number two is this Fasemes. Fasemes basically says that this Purim, each one had their own shvil. He says an amazing thing. They had their own shvil, and they had their own Kriyas Yamsuf. No one member saw the follow of somebody else. Which basically means, up until now, they tried to Moshe Rabbeinu help us, right? Moshe Rabbeinu tried to Rabbeinu Shalom, help me, help them, right? Here was the first time they shouted to Moshe Rabbeinu, help us. Moshe Rabbeinu shouted to Hashem, help me, help them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matatakelai! And that's it. And we're talking about, we're all calm saying this. We're talking about as the Mitzrayim were pounding down on them, they've got the Yamsuf in front of them. It's a terrible situation, right? And what they're going to do? And they were left paralyzed, right? And Nachum Menel jumped in. According to our service, he jumped into what? Honestly, it wasn't the school. The answer is he jumped into Bnei Shalom hands. That's where he jumped. On without cheshbonus, give me a cheshbonus. There's no point. I mean, he jumped into Bnei Shalom's hands without cheshbonus. That's where Klal Yisrael got to. That's what was required of Klal Yisrael, right? I'm saying so. All the cheshbonus we were making in terms of finding the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the shlav beyond that, really, which is where as we progress through Pesach, we come to Kriyas Yamsuf and come to Sfas Emes. There's a new level of avoda which is much much higher. There's a level of avoda where we don't need to understand. We don't need to understand. We understand what we do understand is that Bnei Shalom is a loving father, right, who only wants what's good for us, and therefore whatever the predicament may be, it's going to be good. And if you're standing at the Yamsuf, you jump with simcha. Just like that was the level which they got to, which brought upon them the Geula Shleima, Geula. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should also to get to that level and bring around the Geula Shleima. Mitzvah Hashem.